7th February 1947. The Incarnation of Sri Dakshinamurti. While translating Dakshinamurti's Stotram into Tamil verse with commentary, Bhagavan summarized the original story about the reason for Dakshinamurti's incarnation and wrote it in the preface. Besides that, he divided 9 shlokas therein into 3 groups dealing with the world, the seer, and the seen, respectively. The first 3, 1, Vishwam Darpanam, 2, Bijasyantariva, 3, Yasyeva Spuranam, deal with the origin of the world. The next 3, 1, Nana Chidra, 2, Rahu Grasta, 3, Deham Pranam, deal with the seer. And the last 3, 1, Balyad Vishwapi, 2, Vishwam Pashyati, 3, Bhuram Bhamsi, deal with the light by which things are seen. The last shloka, Sarvatma Tvam, means that the whole universe is merged in Brahman. Recently, I translated the preface into Telugu. Bhagavan went through the translation and said with a smile, "I mentioned briefly in the preface only as much of the life story as related to the stotra, but the real story is much more interesting. It goes like this. Brahma asked Sanaka, Sanat Kumara, Sanandana, and Sanat Sujata, who are the creations of his mind, to assist him in the task of creation, but they were not interested in that task, and so declined to assist. They were surrounded by the heavenly gods, saints, and other attendants, and were staying in Nandanavana, and so they were considering who would impart to them jnana, the supreme wisdom. Narada appeared and said, 'Who can impart the Brahma jnana, the supreme wisdom, except Brahma himself? Come on, we shall go to him.' They all agreed and proceeded to Satyalok, the abode of Brahma, and found Saraswati playing the veena, with Brahma seated in front of her, enjoying the music and beating time to the tune. They all beheld the scene and wondered how a person who is engrossed in the appreciation of his wife's music could teach them Adhyatma Tattva, the essence of spirituality. Narada said to them, 'Come, let us go to Vaikuntha, the abode of Vishnu.' They all proceeded thither. The Lord was in the interior of his residence. Narada is, however, a privileged person, and so he went directly into the Lord's abode, saying he would see and come back. Soon he came out and, when asked, told them, 'There Brahma was seated a little away from his wife, who was playing the veena for him, but here the goddess Lakshmi is seated on the god's couch and is massaging his feet. This is much worse. How can this family man, who is spellbound by the intimate glances of his consort, render us any help in learning Adhyatma Vidya? Look at the splendor of this palace and this city. This is no good. Let us seek the help of Lord Shiva.' They all proceeded toward Himachal, and seeing Mount Kailas, they ascended it with great hopes. But there, in the midst of a vast gathering of his fellows, was Shiva performing his celestial dance, with his wife sharing half of his body. Vishnu was playing on the drum, and Brahma was keeping time with the bells as an accompaniment for the dance. They who came eagerly seeking spiritual guidance were aghast at the sight and thought, 'Oh, he too is after women. Brahma was no doubt having his wife sitting very close to, but was not in physical contact with her, while Vishnu was in physical contact with his wife, but she was merely massaging his legs. But Shiva is actually keeping Parvati as part of his body. This is much worse. Enough of this.' And they all departed. Shiva understood and was sorry for them. He said, 'What delusion on their part! They regard the three Godheads as devoid of spiritual wisdom merely because they were being served by their respective wives at the time the devotee saw them. Who else can impart spiritual knowledge to these earnest seekers of truth? Thus thinking, Shiva sent away Parvati on the plea of himself doing tapas, and the kind-hearted Lord seated himself in the guise of a youth with Chinmudra as Dakshinamurti under a banyan tree on the northern side of Lake Mansarovar, just on the way by which those disappointed devotees were returning to their respective homes. I read this story somewhere, said Bhagavan. How interesting is the story! Why did not Bhagavan include it in the introduction? I said. I cannot say. I thought it unnecessary for me to record all these incidents of Dakshinamurti's life in the introduction. I included only as much as was required for the Ashtaka, 8 slokas, replied Bhagavan. On further inquiry, it was found that this story was narrated in Shiva Rahasya, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, under the heading The Incarnation of Sri Dakshinamurti. A devotee who heard this asked, does incarnation mean birth of Sri Dakshinamurti? Where is the question of a birth for him? It is one of the 5 murtis, forms of Shiva. It means that he is seated facing south in Mauna Mudra, silent posture. It is the want of form, formlessness, that is indicated in its inner meaning. Is it the murti, the form, that is described in the Dakshinamurti Ashtaka? Is it not the want of form, formlessness? Sri Dakshinamurti, Sri means Maya Shakti, illusory force. One meaning of Dakshina is efficient. Another meaning is in the heart on the right side of the body. A murti means formlessness. A lot of commentary on this is possible, isn't it? Said Bhagavan. The same devotee asked, Sanaka and others are described in the Bhagavata Purana as young boys of 5 years of age for all time. But this stotra says, Vriddha Shishya Gurur Yuva, old disciples and young guru. How is that? Jnanis, the wise, always remain young. There is no youth and no old age for them. The description Vriddha and Sishya, old and disciple, means that Sanaka and the others were old in actual age. Though they are old in years, they remain everlastingly young in appearance, said Bhagavan. I give below my translation of the introduction written by Bhagavan. Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanat Kumara, and Sanat Sujata, who are the 4 sons born from the mind of Brahma, learnt that they were brought into existence to further the creation of the world. But they were not interested in the task, and sought only truth and knowledge, and wandered in search of a guru. Lord Shiva sympathized with those earnest seekers of truth, and himself sat under a banyan tree in the silent state as Dakshinamurti with Chinmudra. Sanaka and the others observed him and were at once attracted by him like iron by a magnet and attained self-realization in his presence in no time. To those who are not able to know the real significance of the silent and original form of Dakshinamurti, Shankara summarized the universal truth in this stotra and explained it to Uttamadhikaris, highly developed souls, that the Shakti, force, which dissolves the 3 obstacles for realization of the truth, that is, the world, the seer, and the seen, is not different from one's own self, and that everything gets ultimately merged in one's own self.